Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Mark Houck, a devout Catholic and peaceful pro-life protester, was falsely accused of violating the FACE Act, dealing with access to abortion facilities. He was arrested and handcuffed in front of his wife and children by the Biden administration's Department of Justice. With legal representation from the Thomas More Society, a unanimous jury verdict found him innocent. Now, Mr. Houck is seeking the GOP nomination for Pennsylvania's 1st District U.S. House seat, now held by Brian Fitzpatrick. The outcome of that race will be determined by the Keystone State's April 23rd primary. Mr. Houck, what prompted you to enter this race?
Well, the Department of Justice prompted me, first and foremost. It's not something I wanted to do. Run for politics is not career aspiration of mine. I'm an outsider. I can't say that I ever really thought about it much. But after we were acquitted by a jury of my peers, people were asking me to run for office. And I told them I don't want to run for office. In fact, I was vehemently opposed to it. But more and more people of influence were coming forward and saying, well, you should consider this. Eventually, people of tremendous clout and respect in my life, I decided I should take this to prayer. So I told my wife, I said, we need to pray about this. And we spent the month of July in prayer. We had befriended Scott Perry, neighboring congressman to where I am in Pennsylvania. He invited me to the State of the Union. And I talked to him on the phone. And I said, Scott, tell me what life is like as a congressman. And he said, well, Mark, they're going to come after you. He's got two little girls, and 9 and 10-year-old, I think. And I said, well, they already came after me. He said, well, they're going to keep coming after you, and it's not going to be pleasant. I said, okay, well, then tell me why I should run. He said, you should run because the republic is falling apart. We're this close, he said, to losing our republic. Mark, we're on the brink of losing this thing. We need people of integrity in Washington, D.C. We need people like you, he said. He said, take the month of July, pray about it, and then make a decision because you're running out of time. So we took the month of July back in 2023, and at the end of July, we were convinced that God was asking us to run. He didn't say you're going to win or you're going to have all this. He just said, run, or at least that was the request, and the answer was an affirmative yes. So that's why we're running.
Well, the mainstream media contends that win or lose, your campaign will give added ammunition to Democrats in swing state Pennsylvania because you oppose abortion access, and you do not support allowing abortions in cases of rape and incest. And they'll tie your views on abortion to other Republicans. What's your response to that?
Well, sure. We got to be able to articulate the issue of abortion. We got to be able to educate. I see it more as an educational issue than a political issue. Unfortunately, in our country right now, they don't have the ears to hear abortion pro-life legislation with no exceptions. They just don't have the ears to hear it. I was interviewed for Susan B. Anthony as to a potential candidate endorsement, and they said, would you want a ban on abortion? I said, sure. Would you support a 15-week ban on abortion? I said, yes. Would you support a 12-week ban on abortion? I said, yes. Would you support an Infant Born Alive Act? I said, well, of course. Would you support a heartbeat bill? I said, well, yeah. And they said, well, I don't understand. You said you want a ban on abortion, yet you're going to support all this other stuff. I said, well, they're not. You're asking two different questions there. I said, you want my personal beliefs? I want to ban abortion, and I'll vote for that. But if there's a heartbeat bill that comes on the House floor, and I'm a rep for Pennsylvania, and that's on the floor, I'm going to vote for it, even if there are exceptions in it, because that's going to save millions of babies' lives. It's not going to be something I'm going to sponsor, but I'll vote for it. And I think that's the way we have to articulate our messaging. We're never going to say abortion's okay under rape and incest kind of circumstances. That's never going to be the case for us. However, we need to advance what we're doing post-Dobbs. We need to advance the ball, and we need to get to the point where the America has ears to hear. And so I think that's the right approach right now, and we'll continue to keep pushing that for pro-life America.
Do you see a time in our American history where eventually the majority of Americans will come around to protecting regarding rape and incest?
Sure. It's like Dred Scott. You know, Dred Scott was a terrible decision, a Supreme Court decision. You know, that African-American people were a third of a person or something like that. And that was universal acceptance. And that took time to erode. And then, of course, the civil rights movement, the civil disobedience. And some of the things we're dealing now with, like the FACE Act and people being arrested unjustly, you know, this is just like the 1960s with the civil rights issue. And that yet they continue to advance and share the messaging that needs to be heard. Eventually, I think America will come around it. Most Americans are pro-life. Most Americans, if they understood that rape and incest is extremely rare and that it's not something that, even in a case such as that, that we have to close our minds off to the grace of God, that amazing grace works in the midst of even that, and that there's so many women born and men born that were conceived in rape, and they're doing wonderful things with their life. For instance, Kathy Barnett in my area, she ran for for Senate and Congress. Other people around the country that have that story. We need to continually share those stories, and I think that'll help America.
I think of the case of Ryan Bomberger,
pro-life
adopted activist.
Yeah.
His kids are really glad that he's alive.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Well, if you're elected to Congress, what legislation would you introduce that would help women who have children or would like to have children? Pro-woman, pro-child legislation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have four daughters, right? I have seven children. And my daughters, and I think of them, I think of just them growing up in this culture right now, and they're homeschool kids, but they actually can play sports at the public school. And I just think of just that clear and present danger for them right now, which is to maybe be in a locker room where a boy is getting dressed next to them. I think of that stuff. That stuff keeps me up at night. So I think of those girls, I think of Riley Gaines, and I think of just how unfair the playing fields are and how unjust that is. That's the first thing that comes to mind that's in the news right now. And I think we can advance, you know, that, and we can champion legislation that will protect children in the schools. When it comes to health care and life issues and so forth, it's really pivoted to the states right now, but you know it's going to come back to the federal level. It's going to come back. So as it starts to come back, then we can start to advance, again, the movement, the cause, protect the Hyde Amendment so that doesn't get – they want to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. So, I mean, that is huge. Right now, that is needs to be preserved and held inviolate. But it, you know, the incumbent right now, he votes for, he's my Republican challenge, I'm challenging, he votes for $530 million to be appropriated to Planned Parenthood. We have to stop that first. So that's my first goal, is to just stop those appropriations for baby killing. So that's what we'll do. We'll start to defund all the unconstitutional stuff. That's my first agenda. Defund the unconstitutional stuff. Planned Parenthood is unconstitutional, right? Those programs, we don't need to fund that. You think about abstinence education and how even that gets compromised a little bit with this comprehensive sex education. And that's not good for our children. Scott Phelps here in your own Chicago, he's a champion for that. But, you know, like I said, you know, even in the midst of that darkness, there's going to be great light, you know. So we got to be able to show that light in those areas.
We'll continue our conversation with congressional candidate, pro-life activist Mark Houck after this.
The Woman to Look at Culture from a Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. The testimony of Laura Perry Smaltz confirms that Jesus not only saves sinners, he restores image bearers. At a recent Lighthouse Voices event, Smaltz, who'd previously undergone chemical and surgical intervention in her attempts to live as a man, shared how God has rescued and restored her. Here's Smaltz.
And as God began to heal me, and he began to bring this love and this desire of how he created male and female, I understand how real it can seem for a while to live as a trans person and all these changes are happening and this seems like it's gonna make them happy. Everything is fun for a season. But when that fades away, it's like a drug that no longer gives you a high. But the Lord has transformed my heart and he's given me an incredible life and now fulfilling the vision that God gave me.
For more on this incredible testimony, see the book by Laura Perry Smaltz, Transgender to Transformed. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
Hey guys, it's Alyssa from Illinois Family Institute. There has been a lot of media buzz surrounding in vitro fertilization, which is commonly known as IVF. Recently, the Alabama court ruled 8-1 that frozen human embryos are human beings, and because of this, they are worthy of civil rights protections under the law. There is no doubt that IVF has helped many women who struggle with infertility. In fact, more than 1 million babies have been born through IVF, 60,000 annually. Because every life is precious and valuable, we celebrate these births. However, as Christians, have we considered the downside to IVF treatments? Have we considered the ethical issues surrounding creating dozens of human embryos, 60% of which will be miscarried or discarded? Some of these embryos are even experimented on for scientific research. Because human life begins at conception, and because the embryonic stage is part of development in the womb, we should be very concerned how the media is spinning this issue. After all, each of us started as embryos, and the callous disregard of frozen human embryos should be an issue that every pro-lifer, every Christian, every conservative should be caring about.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here at the Speak Out Illinois Conference with Mark Houck, a congressional candidate in Pennsylvania, pro-life activist who ran afoul of the Biden administration's Justice Department. I would say, Mark, maybe you would too, it's an injustice department.
Sure.
Our government, our legal system is being weaponized against you and other pro-life activists.
Right.
Tell us.
Yeah, and it's unprecedented, you know. Our government is coming after its own people, as I shared in the talk here at the Speak Out Illinois event. And it's just so sad, you know, it's so sad that this is where we are. John Adams said, I think that we have about 300 years for this republic is what he said. And here we are around 250 years. And now we are collapsing from inside out. You know, we're imploding. And so it's really sad. But we need to fight back we need to be like Bishop Strickland said, first century Christians in the 21st century. And that might, you know, for us as a nation, that might be like to say, no tyranny, no more tyranny. We're done, and we have to stand up and band together as a nation and protect those God-given rights. We have to remember the Constitution is superior, is subservient to the God-given rights, right? It just serves those laws that are by nature given to us. So anyhow, we got to continue to be mindful, be vigilant, do our part. Me running for Congress, I see that as a sacred duty, a sacred honor. That I'm called to do, that I have a duty to do for this nation.
Why do you think the DOJ came after you? Were you going to be an example? Were they trying to intimidate other pro-life folks? What do you think?
Sure. Look, it was an opportunity that after Dobbs, clearly the Biden White House, whether Joe Biden himself had the conversation with Merrick Garland or Kristen Clark, I don't know. But clearly the messaging came from the White House to the DOJ that we need to go after pro-lifers. We need to arrest them using the FACE Act and punish these people for their witness to life. And so we've been on the watch list. I'm sure I've been on a watch list for many years. But once Dobbs was overturned Roe, it weaponized the government, it weaponized the DOJ. And you see, it was as if it was planned all along, because in my case, at the local level, I believe they told the guy to stand down, that the DOJ was already anticipating Dobbs, told the man to stand down. This is part of the nature of our lawsuit, our countersuit to the government, because the guy didn't show up for court. This is a guy who wanted his day in court, but they told him not to show up for court so that it was dismissed, so that the government could pick it up. Because if there was a ruling on my case, April 22nd, the government can't, double jeopardy couldn't have come after me. So what does that tell you? There was collusion there. The government was colluding with local cases and lining them up. I mean, the Paul Vaughn case, that was even before my case. his when that incident took place. My incident took place in 2021, over almost a year later. So the government was lining up these cases and anticipating Dobbs. That's my opinion.
Yeah. What's your message to pro-life activists now who are more than a little fearful of going out there and being activists,
right,
because of what's happening with our legal system?
More than a little fearful is a good way of putting it. There's a lot of concern. There is apathy, too. A lot of pro-lifers where I'm from in Philadelphia felt like the battle has been won. But really, Dobbs was just the beginning. You know, we had to begin there. And, and it took us 50 years to get to that point. So now that we're here, now we really have to be strategic. And we really have to be coming out not only in number to help moms and dads in crisis, but on a legislative level, education level, political level, activist level. We have to be all in. And that's my message here at Speak Out Illinois. It's like, look, you got to be all in. This is the most important issue of our time, the greatest issue of our time. If you're not invested in it, then you're not all in. I don't mean you all work full time in the pro-life movement. That's not what I'm saying. But we all can do our part. We all have a role to play. We all have talents and gifts that we have. And we have to use them for that reason. And I think if we're just going to say, well, that's Monty's job, or that's Mark Houck's job, or it's easy to say, well, they have a special gift or charism. Look, I just showed up. I just showed up and the feds arrested me, right? That's all I was doing. I was just showing up to pray. What special gift is that? Maybe there's a little extra courage there, but I didn't do anything special. I just was there praying with my son. And I got in the crosshairs of that. So, there's a lot of fear. And so my message is be not afraid.
Joe Biden said in his State of the Union address that he wants to codify Roe versus Wade into federal law, make it the law of the land.
Right.
If you're elected to Congress, you're going to be a no vote.
Of course. Yeah, no, that's a no-brainer. I mean, look, there is no way that I would be silent on the House floor. There's no way that the will of the people and the people of the first district, if they elect me to Congress, that I'm not going to represent that voice and say, no way. It is a state's, it's proper back to the states. There's no way, the Supreme Court has already ruled on this, that he has a right to do this. He's pushing it, sadly, because he has an agenda, and he can. He can do it. But I don't think it's constitutional what he's doing. I know it's not constitutional. So we have a right, as does he, to defend and uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, unfortunately, he is a domestic enemy, and we have a duty to stand up against him.
Well, if he's reelected or some other Democrat wins the White House, what is your concern as far as the pro-life cause for free speech?
Well, look, thanks to Houck versus United States, that's held. We have support. We have case law, right? So we have case law that supports our right to be on the sidewalk, our right to voice our opinion as it pertains to the FACE Act. FACE Act needs to be repealed. That's the first thing that needs to get done. We need to repeal that, get rid of that bad law. Just like Roe, it's bad law. It should never have been enshrined. And in fact, they're even misapplying it the way it was intended by Ted Kennedy. So look, if in fact that happens, you know, we have a duty to stand up, to be a champion for life, to be a crusader for life. And that's what I'll be. I'll be a crusader for life as a congressman.
All right. Well, how can people get in contact with Mark Houck and your campaign?
Yeah, HouckForCongress.com, HouckForCongress.com.
Mark Houck, God bless.
Thanks, Monty.
All right. May the Lord bless and keep you.
Now and forever.
All right.
Amen.
Take care.
Thanks, brother.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark Houck, and thank you, folks, for tuning in. Please go to the IllinoisFamily.org website to check out upcoming events, to sign on for our email updates, and to peruse some of our valuable resources. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight, and until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.